especially this morning, although our passage for reading and study begins in chapter 9, verse 13. We'll begin reading 9, verse 13 through chapter 10. I do hope this evening to have a message more reflective of the Reformation and the blessings that God's given to us. Through that, this morning we continue our current series. Hear God's word. This wisdom I have also seen under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it, besieged it, and built great snares around it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no one remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Words of the wise, spoken quietly, should be heard, rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. Dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment, and cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post, for conciliation pacifies great offenses. There is an evil I have seen under the sun, as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, while the rich sit in a lowly place. I have seen servants on horses, while princes walk on the ground like servants. He who digs a pit will fall into it, and whoever breaks through a wall will be bitten by a serpent. He who quarries stones may be hurt by them, and he who splits wood may be endangered by it. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. The serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler is no different. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool swallow him up. The words of his mouth begin with foolishness, and the end of his talk is raving madness. A fool also multiplies words. No man knows what is to be. Who can tell him what will be after him? The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your princes feast in the morning. Blessed are you, O land, when your king is the son of nobles and your princes feast at the proper time, for strength and not for drunkenness. Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. A feast is made for laughter, and wine makes merry, but money answers everything. Do not curse the king, even in your thought. Do not curse the rich, even in your bedroom. For a bird of the air may carry your voice, and a bird in flight may tell the matter. Beloved, when is the last time that you asked for directions? When's the last time that you asked for directions because you knew you needed them? and not just because someone else wanted you to ask for directions. Our text this morning is Ecclesiastes 10, verse 15 in particular, in the context of this passage contrasting wisdom and folly. The labor of fools wearies them, for they do not even know how to go to the city. They get tired, not because they're not working, but because they're not wise. The fool's greatest fail is that they don't ask for directions. There's a certain irony here this morning. My wife would say, I don't always ask for directions when I should. My response would be, I know where I'm going. I know the general direction to go. I just not choosing the fastest way to get there in the moment. But I do know the way to the city. But Solomon in Ecclesiastes isn't just talking about the quickest way to a preferred destination, a shop that you've never been to before, or a new vacation spot. He's talking about the bigger questions of life. And the truth remains, maybe the truth becomes even more clear then, a fool's greatest fail is that they do not ask for directions. We see this in four ways from this passage. Fools fail because they underestimate others, the wisdom of others. So why would you go and ask someone else for directions? They don't know. Well, that's the point of the parable at the end of chapter 9. Right? And if you just allow me to describe it in more contemporary terms, there's this town of 5,000 people, and a whole army of a big country comes and surrounds that town and traps everyone in that city. And everyone inside the town's bothered, and the king of that nation comes and he's thinking, got this one nailed down. And there's propaganda sent out by the army. You're surrounded. You have nothing to do. You can't save yourself. Give up. And then there's the news station inside the town releasing hourly opinions about how they have no options. And the people inside the town are terrified. And the king sees all this and he thinks, they're going to give in. And then there's the mayor of the town. He doesn't want to be seen in public, but he's releasing videos every morning asking people to give him some time to come up with a plan. But that just keeps on going. Nothing changes day by day. The king of the army, the king of this country, thinks he's going to win. But no one knows that inside that town there's a poor man with a minimum wage job who lives in the basement who has an idea. He shares it with the mayor. And the popular mayor the next morning calls a press conference and announces it as his own idea. And the city's able to free itself from the army that's surrounding it. And the people begin to live normally again, and they all have expert opinions on what happened and should have happened. And no one remembers the same poor man. Because what would he know? Right? And the poor old man keeps walking by day, and he doesn't say much. He never did. They don't realize that they owe their lives to him. And you see, that's how fools underestimate others. But verse 17 tells us it's the words of the wise spoken quietly that should be heard. It's not the propaganda machines that should be heard. It's not the shout of the ruler of fools who should be heard. No, it's the words of the wise spoken quietly. Wisdom, verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. You see, and the fool gives so much attention to those who speak out the most, those who shout the loudest, those who demand more always. They are the ones who gather the attention. Right? It's like the bully on the schoolyard. He's more loud. He's more obnoxious. He's more demanding. Like the king and his army, or the mayor and his media. Don't need others. Don't need directions. Don't need to depend on somebody else. I don't need your help. You should listen to me. The fool underestimates others. And there's reason for underestimating others. You could even go back to chapter 9, verse 9 and point out how there's no dependence encouraged here. Right? Go up to verse 7. Go. You go. Eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. God's already accepted your works. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Time and chance happen to everyone. So you just go. We could put it in the context of where we've been in recent sermons and say, since it's impossible to find ultimate good or perfect integrity or complete justice or satisfying enjoyment, just you go out and you live and do what you think and say what you say. It seems like everything's legitimate. Now, there's a part of us, part of society, that wants this. Everything's supposedly acceptable in the appropriate sphere. And it comes to life directions as well. Right? What the mentality is, whatever guide you want to follow is up to you. But you see, it's fools who underestimate others. We don't even travel based on just our own feelings. So why do we do that in life? Right, when we travel, we go through preferred stops, we do the reviews, we research, we check out companies' trustworthiness, reputation. We ask others who've been there before or who've gone with that group before. We get opinions. We do research because it's going to cost us money and we don't want to waste money. But when it comes to life, we have this mindset, the fool has this mindset that I can just go and do my thing. I don't have to listen to others. I don't have to listen to the quiet wisdom that other people have. But a lot of sorrow could be avoided with more respect of others. A lot of sorrow could also be avoided by not thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. And that's our second thought that we see coming from this passage. Fools fail because they overestimate themselves. They underestimate others and they overestimate themselves. We see this in three ways in the passage. First, they overestimate that they will never show evidence of foolishness. Right? After all, they're sweet, good. But, chapter 10, verse 1, dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment, cause it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. You see, the tiniest thing can give offense. The tiniest thing proves it's not everything it's made out to be. Right? A fly in a drink, a fruit fly in your drink, is quickly noticed. No matter how good that drink is. A hair in a colorful salad is still a hair in a salad. A tiny piece of egg in a tasty dessert is still an unwanted eggshell. It's hard to deny that those things are there. And so a little folly tarnishes even one who is respected. But you see, the fool thinks that doesn't exist. He's the perfect ointment. He's the perfect dessert. He's the perfect salad. But life proves otherwise. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, a fool at his left. That's a comparison of what's good and bad. And even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom. As he's walking through life, he's showing that he's not perfect. Actually, he shows everyone he's a fool because he's overestimating himself. And then we see also fools overestimate their own opinions and overestimate their own reactions. Verse 4. Right? If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, don't leave your post. If someone decides against you, don't storm off. Conciliation pacifies great offenses. But you see, the fool is caught up in the moment and wants to jump off the bus. And then fools overestimate what should happen to them. Verse 5. There's an evil that I've seen under the sun as an error proceeding from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity while the rich sit in a lowly place. I've seen servants on horses while the princes walk on the ground like the servants are supposed to. You see, the fool thinks that's what they deserve. And kind of reminds us of the warning Jesus gives, right? Don't sit in a place too high for yourself. Because when someone else comes, you're going to be forced down. But you see, the fool overestimates themselves. Thinks, I deserve that top place. And it happens when it comes to life directions too. But what would you think of someone who hired a guide to lead them across the Alps or the Rocky Mountains on foot? And they went out and they looked for a good guide and they started off. But once you're on the mountain trail, they told the guide, why don't you get in the back? I think I'm going to take the lead from now on. Well, what if you saw that person and you heard that person and they're saying, I know where the best spots are. I know where the safest trails are. I know the best way across. Why don't you follow me? And the guide says, I don't think that's wise. You need to stop. I need to go first. And then that fool runs off and saying, I'll do it then. I'll do it by myself then. We would say that's nonsense. Absolute, utter nonsense. But you see, when it comes to life and life's journey, what happens? We have a guide,
But we overestimate ourselves and we put ourselves in front of the guide. And when the guide confronts us and says, no, that's not right, we drop the guide.
And it leads to the third thing. Fools fail because they come to unfortunate consequences.
Right? It wouldn't be a stretch to have a foolish tourist lose the trail, get lost, fall in the mountain range. And yes, they may go on at first. They may try. They may push hard.
But as they walk the way, they're displaying their foolishness. I don't know if you caught the news story. I think it's this past week or maybe the week before. The tourists who were lost out in the west somewhere, I forget where. And the search party was calling their phone number and they didn't answer the phone because they didn't recognize the number.
I don't need directions. I don't even need a lifeline. I'll get through this.
But notice the various pictures that Solomon gives to us, highlighting that these unfortunate consequences happen. Verse 8, he who digs a pit is going to fall into it. You break through a fence, says you're going to be bitten by a serpent. We would say, you break through the fence, the dog's going to get you. Right? And we can multiply these common proverbs. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You fling mud at somebody, you're going to get dirty. You go down that road, you're going to run into trouble. And we can look at these and say there's maybe unintentional consequences. But notice, it's not that the person's unaware that this could happen. He who quarries rock may be hurt by falling rock. I think the person who's quarrying knows that rocks are dangerous. He just thinks it's not going to happen to him. He who splits wood may get a splinter in his leg or a sliver in the hand. Yes, you know it can happen. But as you go through life, you think it's not going to happen to me. You see, the fool ignores the potential of consequences, doesn't think what's going on. And when he comes to resistance, he just tries to force his way through. I'm going to go through with this. Verse 10, it's a great picture. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength.
And maybe he has enough muscle to power his way through another log or two. Another season.
But the axe is just going to get more dull. More strength is going to be required. And there's going to come a point when the axe or the stone is so dull, muscle cannot beat it through a tree.
Might seem obvious. But you see, to the fool, it's not anticipated. He thinks he has what he has to get the job done. He's strong after all.
Why does he need to sharpen the axe? Why learn how to sharpen an axe? Why spend money on a tool that will help you sharpen the axe? After all, I got muscles.
Wisdom would have brought success. But the fool doesn't choose wisdom. He goes on thoughtlessly, regardless of the consequences. And what happens? He suffers those consequences. A serpent may bite when it is not charmed. The babbler's no different. Right? The babbler's the one who's unrestrained tongue He's going to lash out as soon as there's something he doesn't like. Or as soon as the right things aren't being fed to him or said to him or done for him. That's the fool. But the wise man, notice, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. But the lips of the fool even swallow up himself. The words begin with foolishness and suddenly he's caught in his own words and the words just continue because he has to recover somehow, and the end of his talk is raving madness. Instead of asking for directions, instead of asking how to turn around, instead of asking how do I get out of this, he multiplies words, and no man knows what is to be. Anything that's said, he has an answer for. Who can tell him what's going to come next? You see, we do this with life directions. I don't think any of us would drive 30 kilometers an hour down a gravel road on flat tires because we're too proud to ask for help. Go to the nearest house and ask for a phone. Directions. But fools fail because they respond to opportunities selfishly. They don't want anybody to know they're lost. They don't want anybody to know they're needy. They have no self-control. Everything's an impulse. Woe to you, O land, when your king is a child and your prince's feast in the morning. And what's the point of that proverb? Everything is increased by immaturity. Folly is increased by immaturity. And it's not about the age of the person. It's about the immature impulsiveness. It's not good when your prince's feast in the morning. It's fools who do what they want without consideration of others. Even when the prince's feast matters. Because it has consequences towards strengthening or towards drunkenness. And then fools respond to opportunities with no diligence. Right? They choose what's easiest in the moment. Because of not thinking ahead, because of laziness, the building decays. And because nothing's done right now, the house eventually leaks. And the fool just keeps going because the opportunity's there, but they're choosing selfishly, no self-control, immaturity, no diligence. But also they don't consider the need for internal joy. Everything is superficial. The fool lives for the moment not thinking of what's going to happen next. Right? It's all about the moment and creating the moment. So let's have a feast. Why? Because we need to laugh. We need to have fun. Let's drink together. Because we need to forget. Wine makes merry. Let's go shopping. Because money answers everything. And it's always about the moment. And then the fool has no kindness. They curse the king. They curse the rich. Everything is expressed. Even they might say, well, it's just in my own house. It's in my private space. It's in my bedroom. And they don't think of how their thoughts escape. The bird here refers to a spy or someone who's going to tell. an informer. You see, the fool never thinks that their words are going to get out and others are going to hear them. It's about themselves in that moment and their feelings being expressed. And no wonder Ecclesiastes 7, then you turn back to 7 verse 5, it says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Because the song of fools is maybe more colorful and it's going to go out. But what happens? The song of the fools is about nothing ultimately. But foolishness spreading, folly reigning. It seems like there's fools everywhere. And Proverbs 1, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 15, the mouth of fools just pours forth more foolishness. Why do I need to ask for directions? Well, because there's a conclusion to this. Proverbs 10, fools die for lack of wisdom. The consequence, the ultimate end of foolishness is death. If only the fool had asked for directions. If only they hadn't been so selfish that they would have listened to someone else. If only they hadn't underestimated the wisdom of the poor man. If only they hadn't overestimated themselves. If only everything hadn't just been about the moment. If only they had asked for directions. But now they die. We so often don't think it's not that serious. Right? And we might even think of it in terms of travel and directions. You take a long trip. You have lots of time to get there. There's lots of ways to get there. There's lots of roads that lead to Florida. And you can ignore that last instruction because your GPS will recalculate. You're not in a rush. But remember, Ecclesiastes isn't about a next vacation. Ecclesiastes is about life. And there's only two destinations to life. The glorious city of heaven or the bottomless pit of hell. And it's the fool who doesn't ask for directions. If you are going to arrive at the right destination, you cannot underestimate the wisdom of God. You need to recognize God for who He is. He's the all-knowing God. He's the creator of all things, visible and invisible. He's the one who made everything. He's the one who knows everything. He knows the way to life. And so Proverbs 3. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your travels, paths, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. But you can't underestimate Him. And you can't overestimate yourself. If you were to arrive at the right destination, you cannot overestimate yourself. You've not written the guide. You've not drawn the map. You don't know all things about life. Actually, you know very little about life. You can't lift yourself up. Then you need to humble yourself. And humility begins with recognizing we're rebellious against God. We've thrown out the guidebook. We've turned off listening to the one who says, this is the way. And if we're to arrive safely at the right destination, we cannot fall to unfortunate consequences. And yes, there's things we can't know. There's things we can't predict. There's trials through life.
But think of the end consequence. There are eternal consequences to your response to life's directions. And it's the fool who doesn't ask for them. God's perfectly clear about this. Matthew 7. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. And the wise man built his house on a rock, and the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and that house did not fall. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man. And the foolish man built his house on the sand. And the same storm came. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell. And great was its fall. There are consequences to not listening to directions. And the way to travel through life then, and to think about life's questions, is not spinning your own wheels, it's not being short-sighted, it's not using opportunity selfishly, but it's recognizing that the Word comes, the guide comes, and our response is to be obedience and awe. Obedience because this is wisdom. It's not just silly to be a fool. It's sin to be a fool. Because the fool denies that God exists. The fool denies that the Word is here as the guide to life. The proper response then is obedience and awe. Awe that God is. Awe that God has mercy on fools. Awe that the Word reveals Jesus Christ came into the world to save fools. And yes, even awe that God calls you to obedience. What does this mean then for members of our church? Part of membership, all of us have said, we believe the Old and New Testaments are the true directions. We've promised to follow them by God's grace. But are we? I'm not asking if you're perfect in yourself, if you're working this all out by yourself. But by God's grace, are you sincerely trying to know and understand and follow through on these instructions? Or are you going to be like the fool who says, yes, I believe the guidebook's true, but I'm going to throw it out, go my own way. I might not even throw it out, I'll keep it on the shelf. But I'm just going to live moment by moment. Let me turn the question around. If you had to tell someone directions, what would you say? And would your answer be, you need to go to this Word? This guide. Some of us, and yes, some of us here are still underestimating God, overestimating ourselves. And we don't realize what we're doing. It feels too good in the moment. We're ignorant of what God says in His Word. And it's leading us to dangerous consequences
and maybe even to the wrong destination. The point of this morning is wisdom, though. Let your foolishness drive you back to God. Let your foolishness drive you to the gospel. Let your foolishness bring questions out of your mouth. Let your foolishness drive you to prayer. And then let the gospel and God free you from the fool's greatest fail. He will provide you with directions. He will keep you on the path. He will bring you to the right destination. But are you going to ask? And children, most of you are just beginning life's journey. I just want to leave you with a question. Are you asking for directions? Are you asking? Yes, talk to your parents. Listen to what they teach you. But ask God. Ask God to give you directions. And never think you don't need them. May none of us display the fool's greatest fail. Amen. Let's pray.